All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drops to the cup? Will Luzada play harder for last year's runners-up? Will Magnay's got his sights on the NBA? But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay. We love Space Jam double-doubles and four-point shots from bubbles. The Great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch. The Hawks signed a bloke named Justanian. And next year, we'll love the Tasmanian.
Brace for the puns and dad jokes. It's time for the Basketball Blokes.
G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the Basketball Blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. And blokes, we're in a room together, podcasting.
Exciting stuff.
Special.
And a bit emotional. I can't believe that's going to be probably the last time I get to hear that little intro song that we put together seemingly so long ago now. And it became its own thing, fellas. I mean,
hashtag Basketball Blokes curse intro.
That's right. I mean, if you go through that and listen back through it, and we've discussed it through the year, that was really a hot topic, wasn't it?
I was actually running through it in my head just then as we were listening to it. So giddy was a yes. Thumbs up, really. I mean, yes, he did leave later in the season, but thumbs up until that day.
Yeah, no, I mean, the curse lives on, I say.
JJ, it's probably the only other one that was...
I think Bubbles was in there.
Yeah, he hurt himself early in the year. So
true.
We had... There was different moments at different stages. JJ hurt himself. Cotton. But we also went with Justinian instead of... Oh, Justanian.
Oh, is right.
So maybe he was a bit...
Technicality?
Yeah, technicality. Okay. Survived through that one. But yeah, looking forward to writing the next intro for next year. So
And on that?
Yeah, well, look, we want to thank our Patreon supporters and... We're trying to set it up for next season, and one of the suggestions we had through the year was, I think, from Julian O'Brien on the Discord chat, all our Patreons have access to, and he suggested setting up a Patreon tier for people where they can pay to nominate players not to be included in our intro song for next year. So I don't know if we'll be that outrageous, but it'll be interesting to see how the curse lives on. We might not have any Phoenix players in there, Boyd, next year, just to give us a chance.
They might give us a chance if we don't.
Banksy, we've got to thank our Patreons, of course. So, looking at the overall rankings, season done, we got a bunch in the top 25, but we got the trifecta, mate.
We did. They were all Patreons.
That's right. So, join at different stages through the year, and we've just...
Pays to be a Patreon.
That's right. Well, particularly for one person, and we had an interview with Denim Melrose, and Banksy, where did Melrose place?
Number one in the land.
That's it. Top pop for Denon Melrose.
Top bloke.
He is the top bloke. And we are thankful.
Okay.
Okay. That was a clip then at some point.
I think that was previous season.
Yeah. So that was the get low thing from the previous season.
Speaking of which, third season of the Basketball Blokes. Can you believe it?
Yeah. It has gone fast.
A trying season.
It was. It was a trying season. We'll definitely get onto that. But. We actually have and just interviewed Denim earlier today, and that'll be at the end of the podcast. Good interview.
Yeah, so keep going.
Mine and Banksy's favourite part of the interview before we hit record, and Boardy was explaining things and said he likes to be a bit spontaneous. And what did Denim reply back with, Banksy?
Something about the Dessels.
Was it something to do with the Deckles? Was Dessels?
Dessels all over again.
He was very quick.
Yeah.
Quick return of serve.
So, regular listener, I'm very...
Very quick, Denim. Very quick. And obviously, then we formally announced that he would be taking over from Banksy's captains, correct?
Well, no, that's not the case.
Oh, okay.
But well done to Denim. So, what we've mentioned the podcast, his interview is going to be the end of this, but what we're going to do is we're going to recap the big moments of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look back at some of our predictions and how they panned out.
Yes.
But you mentioned it was trying.
Oh,
it was tough.
Was it trying?
And obviously tougher on all the coaches, players and families than us, but lots of Skype podcasts and alike. But
postponed games.
That's it.
Postponed games.
Oh. So we're going to get through the deep stuff, the times we didn't always agree early on, because we got a lot of good feedback about this particular discussion. And this was when we were hit with the first schedule change in round three. Can you believe it? Lots of messages, comments and emails from people who couldn't understand why averages wasn't applied. I even saw one team changed their name to Justice for New Zealand and Perth Owners, which are... I think we need to all put this into perspective. But it is legitimately an issue where people have decided to pull the pins on their season. And just quickly, we have also heard it from the other perspective as well. Banksy, you were probably the most frustrated out of all of us. Do you want to explain why you thought average should be applied?
Yeah, sure. Look, I was pretty vocal on it. But let me first say this. I only had one starter from the Perth and New Zealand game, and that was Mooney. And as we know, he scored two games worth in his one game anyway. So he didn't need the two games to almost double Jock's score. Well, let's firstly acknowledge that the game is based on schedule. Let's also acknowledge that the round had already started. So players were locked, captains were locked in. Unlike this week, we know what the revised schedule is prior to making our trades. And finally, I think it's important to acknowledge that when I talked about players receiving their average instead of a zero, logically, you would not have the points count in the rescheduled game and receive twice the amount of points, like some against the idea used as an argument. Obviously, that wouldn't make sense. That's not what it's about. It was about trying to keep a level playing field and not greatly disadvantaging some teams over others. That's the way I was looking at it. So I look at it this way. Which is the greater disadvantage? A zero where a player had a scheduled game, or a player being awarded their average, which is a lot closer to awarding what should or would have been? The good teams would have loaded up with Cotton, Mooney and Webster. So what if both Perth games were cancelled post-lockout? Will we still be okay with zeros on doubles for Cotton and Mooney owners? Are we okay to losing out 200, 300, 400 points for the teams that were well planned, the teams that had the right players on the double?
Okay. We, like I mentioned, we had a lot of people who didn't agree, and there was a few reasons for it, but Bordy, I just want you to have a chat about what you thought. I know in our clip we played, you said, what if it happens too early, round one?
Well, it was too early.
Go for it.
That'd be my main thing. So there was two games in for Perth and for New Zealand as well. So it's not a fair average. Like I said, I predict that Mooney's average will be somewhere around more like the 30 to 35 range for the whole year. And so if teams were awarded 75 or whatever it was, obviously that's unfair, right? We're talking about made-up shit. And when you're bringing made-up stuff to things where people can win money, I don't think that's a fairness thing. And you know what? I might piss off a few people and a few of our listeners, but if you're going to give up on this game because of that, I'm going to say good and don't come back next year, because NBL Fantasy and other fantasy games in other sports, it's about fun. We're just having a bit of fun that helps out playing watching the real game. Makes it a bit more enjoyable for some people. Some people get to win money. Some people get to win some vouchers. It's fun. They can't give you a made-up score from someone. Yes, okay, it's worked out on average, but it's not a real average. I think if they were going to do some sort of average, it might be at the end of the year they rebase it on what that player's average was for the whole year. But then it throws everything out. Like, you might have a situation where someone, based on that, would have won or lost the weekly and therefore got a prize or didn't get a prize or what have you. It can't be done like that.
I think there was an opportunity to put in a protocol. As it turns out, there really is a protocol. By omitting that there is any treatment for a rescheduled game, you just get the score that your players have. And some people really didn't like the idea of making up a score for a player for a game that was never played.
I agree. I totally agree with all the points.
Yeah.
And
look, happy, there's no right or wrong answer.
Exactly. Yeah. And happy to have our own opinions. But I just think that zero in this situation post-lockout was a far greater disadvantage for particularly teams that own multiple of those players. And I agree with
like
you
me.
That the average is not ideal either. But I think it's the greater of two evils. If you had to pick one, which is going to be a greater disadvantage, the zeros is the greater disadvantage.
Great discussion, fellas. Me sitting on the fence, like always.
Oh, you can tell you're almost
the
like
diplomat.
You're shaking when you're saying that a little bit in between the two warlords going to battle.
That's right. It wasn't even over Skype. That would have been safer on Skype.
Did you hear some clown in there say something about Mooney averaging 30 to 40?
No, I didn't hear that, but I did hear a lot of what I was saying being right. And I also think that our winner we chatted to had Mooney in that and still ended up winning, even with the zero.
Yeah, look, it was really, we got so much good feedback and I think it was a great discussion. And what I'm happy about is that we're all mates. We can have a couple of beers and hash this out. right? So, and show up the next week and, you know, Boardy's always ordinary. Well, Banksy's always ordinary bloke, so it's one of those things.
Be careful
so
even, there.
So even if he does make a good argument, like at least everyone's, Boardy's back feeling good again a week later. So, really good discussion. I remember Marco replied to Boardy on Twitter and saying, you know, thank you for having that conversation because we put
Marco
out...
Marco
OG. And Banksy had referred, put out the poll, and the poll said most people... The reply to the poll said use average, but I cut it out because you know, didn't want to go too long, but we explained the rule, explained the logic behind both sides of the fence. It was just something that we hope we never, ever have to deal with.
What round was that again?
Round three.
It was round three.
Can you believe it?
Mm.
So, yeah, pretty tough, but good discussion from you two. Well done. And especially, I think, we need to say well done to Banksy for his captain selections this season. We didn't do grades all the time, Boydie, did we? But he generally did pretty good, I think.
Yeah, not too bad.
Not too bad. So we're planning on, at some stage, maybe round four or something like that next season to make Banksy's captains Patreon exclusive. No pressure, Banksy. But that's what we're looking to do next season. They normally work out pretty good, but... this was probably one of the biggest moments of the season and for overall, and we'll hear a little bit about Banksy's captains leading into it.
And then, obviously, who everyone will be going this week. It may sound like a no-brainer, but Jock is finally, Boardy, playing on Mooney's level fantasy.
Averaging a higher average over the last five games, I believe, too.
A lower score of 63 in his past five. He's gone 66, 65, 87, 63, and 71. His form, as you said, Boyd, is undeniable, averaging 70 points a game over his last five. Lock-in factor for me, though, is we've now finally seen him post six straight double-doubles. And as Benny's Patreon newsletter tells us, Jock is now averaging 2.125 points per minute over his last six, which is ridiculously elite when we consider Mooney is traveling at 1.9. points per minute played. So if he can retain that as our captain this week, that would be, based on averages, a good 200 points plus. And as captain, you know, we could be looking at a cool 400 points from our captain this week.
I do like the sounds of that.
Lock Jock.
Scotty Hobson's strength, and that's good to see him let Lando back. Let's hope we can get him back on the court.
Well, up here, Mitch.
Whether that's a good sign or not, we shall find out. Here's Cam Luke.
Hey, boys, yeah, slight right knee injury to Jock Lander. We've seen in the first 20 or 30 seconds, and I know you looked at it and didn't seem to be a great deal in it. He will not return tonight. So, obviously, we'll see how it plays tomorrow and what happens in the next 24 hours. But Jock Lander, a slight right knee injury described to me, will not return tonight.
That's a big blow for them. Well done, Cam.
Unreal.
Oof.
What'd I say? Cool 200 points.
What he scored? 12.
Yeah, what did it end up being?
24.
Double it.
I had 24 for him for that round.
Yeah, 24 for me as
Let's
well.
Let's be honest, we all had him, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I think we all went through those numbers. It was just, it was one of those things where, and we discussed it with Denham, like only one of the top 15 coaches had someone else. And
they must have made up some ground.
Oh, they shot straight up the rankings. It could have been, that was probably the biggest make or break moment of the season, I'd say. To have Landau get hurt, it's funny because I watch the Patreons and we get the notifications through the email, and the second Landau got hurt,
oh no,
after 1 minute through that Melbourne United game, cancelled Patreon, season over for someone. So I thought that was pretty
someone
funny.
Didn't cancel.
Yeah,
it,
they
did.
As soon as Landau got hurt, captain
cracked it.
Yeah, cracked it. So, understandable. But yeah, definitely.
To be fair, I didn't get too upset about it because nearly everyone had him as captain.
And what we say about Banksy's captains and everything else we kind of say, you know, the past doesn't dictate the future. So
you sound like a super fund.
Well, no, sorry. It's here the super of the future. And
old dad Boyd.
It's shut up. It's the only thing we can go on is Banksy's hard work that he does into the stats every week for the captains.
And I had to laugh, speaking about the hard stats.
Mm-hmm.
Jock Lando, elite at 2.2 points per minute or whatever mentioned in the clip. he had 2 points because they won the game and only played 30 seconds. That's 4 points a minute. Jock, you're on fire, mate.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, funny stuff. But obviously, this is what I mean. All these bad moments, we wanted to get them out of the way first because...
Is that all the bad stuff? Oh, geez, I think so. Good. That's pretty good.
Well, maybe not, unless you don't like John Mooney, that might be later on. But we just...
Can't wait.
Bordy and myself decided... We need to do a positivity pod.
Who's John Mooney? Did he show up in game one of the finals? I don't know.
Yeah, well...
Has he shown up in the finals yet?
Well, Banksy's actually not barracking for him now as a United fan, so it's one of those things, isn't it? So
works for me.
Works for Banksy. So,
positivity.
Positivity pod. We went through and discussed something good about every single team. Here is a list of the proverbs that we had Confucius Boyd do, the oracle perhaps.
The way to overcome Melbourne Bubbles is with triple doubles. Sometimes you may lose your will and break the law, but you must move on and say, so be it.
Whilst injuries can annoy you and you'll be tempted to say, dang it, take a tad of time to feel like a king and you'll soon be jumping for joy.
Defend your name at all costs. If your confidence is dented, you may think you have had all you can bear. Say nah, give your max, and everything will be all white.
Don't set the bar low. Never be afraid of falling short. Money making is all white at the end of your day. It's a cool thing to have gold and land. Use it to your advantage. Cast as many webs as you can, because when hope is thin and you're feeling low, you will want as many people as possible to have your bark to assist. As you traverse this life, there will be times when you need to rebound. Always remember that the moon will light the way and show you how.
The hunter is valiant and cooks the Angus it catches, but be aware. Newly discovered injuries to the herd means they may soon run out of cattle. If the pretzel is making you thirsty, don't go back for more. The only refreshment comes from a creek, and the creek is running sore.
Some gold there. We're just laughing in the background here. Shout out to Benny for writing most of what of our comedian type stuff we've got going on. I mean, some of mine's ad lib, but most of our well put together stuff, such as that fine recording and what was done in the podcast, is Benny's excellent writing.
You have to
so
say.
Now we've talked about Banksy's awesome stats stuff and the captain stuff. We talked about Benny's awesome writing and stuff. I'm not too sure what I'll bring to the table here.
Well, I mean, do we discuss our overall rankings every year in the top 100? Top bloke for the year?
Oh, funny you mentioned that. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
That's all right. You get 10 seconds. Go. one again.
Top 77th of the year, fourth year straight, I think.
Five.
Like that. Top bloke again for Boydie. Well done, mate. You did very well. Now, someone who also did very well in one game in particular.
I didn't even set that up. I can't believe you were going with that. But okay, go with it. Yes.
Yeah, just one game in particular. We're on the same wavelength.
Yes.
All
over it.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. But first award. So I feel like we've had someone in this category every single year, but this was not someone that I expected before. Now, this is the Wilt Award, and it's not for someone who wilted, but in fact, someone like Wilt Chamberlain, who scored 100 points in a single game. And here is the person.
McDowell White will have to fire from a long way away. And the Breakers finish the quarter with a splash.
Now, we can't call him... No, we can't call him Daryl.
Beamer.
We can call him son of Daryl.
That's right.
Which I think we were trying to go with at the start. But then we settled on BMW.
Yep. I'm happy with Beamer. Just absolutely out of nowhere. And, I mean, quite... good that we called him Beamer, given that Wilt Chamberlain probably did some of his other best work in the back of a Beamer, notoriously. So, so not just 100 in a single game, but that's the other thing Wilt's known for. But Banksy, we've got some numbers there, right? So I was particularly high on McDowell White, and it would just seem like it was obviously one of those big moments. If you somehow started McDowell White, this was when you had that 106. Oh. You were thinking amazing triple double. It was like 14 assists.
You're
the
man.
Something like that. It was going to be great.
Then what happened?
Banksy, explain what these numbers were leading in and after it.
Oh, we saw his ceiling and floor in the same span. So these numbers you've got here, 11, 46, 18, and then we had his massive 106. And yes. Owners were up and about, weren't
Do you
they?
Start Cotton or McDowell White going forward?
And what happened? So the second game of round 14 following that 106, he put up a 6.
I think it's pretty
100 points less.
If you score that for the New Zealand Breakers, it's a sucks, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Banksy didn't actually go with it. So.
Sucks.
That was, we all had him on our benches, is that right, at yep. that stage?
I did.
Yeah, I think we all kept him there, didn't we?
Yeah, that's
I think Banksy might have started him once or twice.
Yeah, I started him.
Triples, that's it. So, more about Will McDowell White, but that was just another one of those moments this season that was such a big moment. Now, but someone...
We know he puts up points, and like thinking ahead, like you'll hear this later in our interview with Denham asked a bit of a forecasting question. But if Beamer's in the league next year, it's scores like that that go, you know, you stand up to attention and go, you know, is he worthy of a spot?
His fantasy output, safe to say, was matchup dependent,
sporadic, spontaneous, for lack of a better word.
I just snorted.
Who snorted?
I did. I can't believe
geez,
that.
Louise. Might have to edit that
Wow-wee.
One.
Yeah. So
it's like we swore.
Yeah, that's coming up later in the clip as well. But so Banksy, we just mentioned how good his captains were, and now another big player throughout this year was Josh Giddey. Mm-hmm. Now, Banksy just had a read on Giddey throughout the whole season. I've got a couple of clips here.
We've been saying it for weeks now, the elusive triple-double, could it be in the matchup against the guy who no one would have basically picked to have beaten Josh to the punch, Willie McDowell White? Who knows? Maybe Josh will be offended. He might come out punching.
And Banksy, what did he do that round?
Triple-dub.
First one. And I don't think they were back.
He did
to
it
back.
Twice, but yeah. That was his first.
That yeah. was his first. And... So he's called it out, called the revenge triple-double game.
Oh.
But do you remember what happened, Boydie? This was the week after he made Giddey his number one captain for useless scores. We were all expecting the triple-double. And Banksy's called it the week after he made his number one captain choice. So a little bit of a wish,
week late.
I wish you had called it.
It was bittersweet.
It was. But Giddey, obviously fantastic. More about Giddey later on. But this was from the preseason about Giddey from Banksy.
For my second big call, I'm going to roll with Josh Giddey, who you should have seen last night. We'll finish in the top 3 point guards by fantasy production
we're all
this
on the
season.
Point guards.
And I
behind
honestly
McCarron.
Think he can.
Behind McCarron, behind who was yours?
Keith Sykes.
Watching Giddey last night gave me confidence. I'm actually glad that Adelaide now have the double in round one. So Giddey was the first one that came straight into my team once I saw that schedule reshuffle. Obviously only finished on 13-7 stats-wise, but his first half, 11-5-2. So if he could have replicated those numbers in the second half, I think we're going to see more from that, more from Giddey, and more consistently through a whole game as the season goes on.
Great call, Banksy. I mean, I've got him right, stats right in front of me. He was the highest averaging point guard for the year at 52.9.
Should have gone with that, shouldn't I?
And second overall in scores, only because obviously he only played the 28 games compared to Sobe, who played 36.
You're kidding me. He finished second in
total
score.
That's incredible.
Second, even missing the game. So he beat Machado, only playing 28 games.
Hey. My two big preseason calls went 1-2 by average.
Well, there you go. We've got some more of your calls, so we'll listen to them later on in the podcast. So don't get too high on your own supply. But
yes.
Look, whilst Banksy was focusing on these young stars like Josh Giddey, I myself had some... I really enjoyed going back through these clips. I had a lot of fun listening back to the year we had. But I've decided I have some weird infatuation with Craig Moll this season. One thing we got to do for the first time was ad reads.
It's the hair.
Was ad reads, right? They were fun. We didn't actually get any money, but we all got ourselves a Manscaped trimmer. So that you know, something
handy.
Handy.
And if right. If you didn't take up the offer and jump in using the code Blokes, I think you're missing out because it's actually not a bad little machine.
Well, let's not do another ad now. Oh, let's listen back to my favourite one.
Support for this episode of the Basketball Blokes podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Now, look, I know some of our listeners might be a bit funny about us discussing this topic, so I wanted to put something clear into basketball terms. I'm not advocating for a John Really Willie, okay? It doesn't have to be the DD Brazilian, right? But on the same, you cannot be having any Craig Moller dreadlock type things going down there either, you know?
So instead of thinking about your own fantasy teams, perhaps the listeners should think about their partner's fantasy.
And Bordy, let's be honest, you probably don't want Craig Moller in either of those situations at the moment.
And thankfully, boys, the Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created.
Yes.
And just released the new and improved the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, their third generation trimmer featuring a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents.
And I can confirm that it definitely does that. Now, I'm a bit concerned now because I don't want our listeners to picture Craig Moller every time they look down in the shower, okay? I don't want that to happen. But I also don't want them to pay full price for a Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. They can get 20% off and free shipping with the code BLOKES at manscaped.com.
That's right. So it's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com if you use the code BLOKES, B-L-O-K-E-S. Your balls, your partner, and the blokes will thank you. And we thank you for sending your questions in for this week.
Shout out to Dennis Cometti for joining us on those ad readings, joining Benny and I for those ad readings.
Yeah. How's the segue into the questions? And we thank you for the questions at the end. So
smooth as a man's... Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Very good. Now, one of the messages that I had to laugh at on our Discord channel that our Patreons have access to is from Julian O'Brien when he discussed rolling into work and winding up his window to use the security pass. And he's got the podcast blaring out and everyone's within earshot and you're listening to people shaving their nether regions. So we're talking about shaving. So that was one of the highlights, but that was my first Craig Moller issue. But my other one was from another preseason prediction. My prediction, I don't know if I can say it, I actually think that Craig Moller will average in the top five of all small forward eligible position players this season. Can you keep straight faces?
These stubby holders must have gotten a workout.
Holy dooly. Holy dooly indeed. Now, I don't want to upset you, Benny. We're trying to keep this positive.
I'm upset.
Technically, in total score, you were correct.
Yes.
In average, which is the word you used,
it's just
was
correct.
Average, sixth.
Yes.
Oof.
That's right. So that he hurts. Finished sixth in average, and I've gone into the numbers. You could say that Craig Moller missed by hair. Speaking about what we just said.
Ah, yes.
So I reverse engineered this, and Moller needed 51 points for my prediction
you
to come true.
You did not reverse engineer this.
After scoring 65 the game before, against Melbourne United, the best defense in the land. In his last round, his score had two games. He had 7 and 12. So I'm not worried about my prediction, but this jerk cost...
He's not happy.
He cost people their grand finals. You can't be having a small forward in a grand final score 19.
He might have.
I mean, at this point, I'm happy he's in Germany next year, to be honest.
Oh, wow. That's a bit of a news.
So 65 points, 7 and 12, and he cost
Craig,
me my prediction.
Craig.
So Craig, that's a little bit of breaking news if you haven't heard.
Craig.
But this brings me on to some general discussion for you, Blokes, to handle. The small forward position.
Ugh.
That was the next topic. That was the thing this season.
Yuck.
So I've got some numbers in front of you there. What do you make of those numbers? Because it was a horrible position all year round.
Struggling to read the numbers at the moment, but we'll go with it.
Just standard table body.
Do I have to do it?
No. What do we got? Small forwards, no one averaging over 50. Only one over 40. I think we can all guess who that is.
one over 35, and five over 30. That's it.
That's it. So only five players SF eligible scored over 30. Now, I think if you're average 30, I think you're playable on a double.
Is this small forwards?
A little bit of, context.
I'm looking at the stats here. There's only one over 40, and that's it. The next highest one's 34.2.
And not everyone can see the table. Correct.
Same person. Mitch Creek. There's only one over 35.
40. Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Okay, yeah. That's how you went with it.
And
yeah.
Some context there. Not everyone can see this table we're looking at. So as you said, five at the SF position over 30. Then you look at PF, 14 over 30. At centre, 12 over 30. You know, small SG, 12 over 30 as well. So it was really the most shallow position we had for the season, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know what your strategy was. Like, obviously, Creek was by far and away the best player. And then it drops to Justin Simon, who we didn't like the look of in our teams for a lot of the year. Because all we did was, it was all relying on steals, really.
Yep.
Yeah. One or two double-doubles throughout the year to pump his average up. But there was just so shallow. And what we're missing was the likes of Hobson and Patterson, wasn't it? So if you
they were there. They were there.
That's right. So if you go to basketballblokes.com and you can go for the prior year averages through the player stats and prior year averages, and you'll see now that we've done the biggest gains and falls from last season. And apart from MVP, who was the biggest gain last year and the biggest fall again this year, speaking about players that you want to pick up next year, could be very, very cheap. Bargain basement price. Dane Pinot under contract for Southeast Melbourne.
Shut up.
If you don't mind.
Shut up.
Hobson and Patterson were the two biggest fallers and biggest disappointments. And when I made my Mola prediction, you were like, Deng Adel. You were like, all these different players that you were ran through. Like, you thought that my call was crazy. And it was incorrect in the end. But, yeah, just the SF position was fairly rough, I'd have to say. So, moving on to other things that were pretty rough is our next award for the year. And this is the Holt Award.
Oh.
Not after a player, of course. We're not into bagging players, but someone who halted your team's progress, potentially. So
Or went missing like Harold.
Oh, went missing like Harold. You remember the line. Well done, Bordy. Do you want to just list out the three top nominations?
Look, there was a few out there, but we'll go with the top three of... and look, funnily enough, they're all small forwards, aren't they? We've got Deng Adel, Lamar Patterson, and Scotty Hobson.
And finally, this guy.
But I know Donald Sloan's game. I'm a massive Indiana Pacers fan. I actually chatted with the Paceroos on their podcast with Donald Sloan a couple of weeks ago. And he's the kind of player that is going to produce in a variety of ways. So 24 points last night and little else is not going to be his typical game. He's going to be more likely probably around that 14 to 16 points mark, but with five or six boards, with five or six assists, and with a couple of steals and a couple of threes, and produce across the board like that, depending on what the Sixers need in any particular game. So having that variety in his game, that two-way game, that aggressive mentality, he loves getting into the paint and trying to draw contact. He loves trying to get to the rim. You saw him kind of posting up a smaller opponent. I think it was Jared Kenney at one point last night. He can do all those things. So very appealing player. He's in great shape. And I think he recognizes how tough this league is. He's not going to take anything for granted. And he's said that on more than one occasion. So a very appealing guy to have in your round one roster for mine.
You didn't do totally, like that. Dooley. I think the Banks in, I don't approve of that cut.
Well, I don't approve it either because it completely ruined my fantasy team, to be honest.
Well, so. To be honest, I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid from Tom quite as much as you two. But then you two got me. I reckon I switched. I think it might have even been Harvey, but I can't remember exactly. But I think I switched Harvey out of my side and put Sloan in with like
a week. But yeah,
no, it wasn't okay. Noy. No, because it was a shooting guard, definitely. And I put Sloan in literally like an hour before the first game of the season, which hurts, but it's the way it goes.
How was the sales pitch, though? Undeniable, right?
Oh.
Undeniable.
So good.
And Bordy tried a few things out to be quite Sloan-like, didn't he? I know behind the scenes, Benny, what was something that they both had in common?
Oh, now you've got
both
me here.
Both did, you know, it might be podcasting for Bordy, but both tended to do a couple of topless...
Oh, yes.
Interviews slash podcast, didn't they?
Yeah, so he's Donald Sloan and, yeah, Bordy do. I cut that out, actually, of the clip. Probably should have left it in there. Yeah, well Tommy Hirsch did talk about how he was in good shape, and he literally showed him. He was flexing the pecs on with the gold chain in the Pacers podcast. So.
And the following weekend we do a podcast, and we jump on Skype, and where's your top, Bordy?
In context, that was we've done a few Skypes after I've played a basketball game, so I'm a sweaty larger gentleman, so yeah. I like aerating.
Well, look, so Donald Sloan was my pick out of this list because he was the only one I actually had, but I've been outvoted.
Well, Sloan, I don't mind it, but you can't have Pato in there because, to be honest, Pato averaged 39 over his last five. We saw the real Lamar Fadison at the end of the season, I think.
So, okay, so that eliminates. So we got Scott Hobson and Deng Adel. And I know that you two vote.
It's Deng Adel.
It's Deng Adel because I started with him.
Yeah. So
Deng Adel wanted to be defensive player of the year. Looked like he was going to score lots. He got talked up by selected people we won't talk about.
Yes, some Hawkheads out there with some influence on us. But, I mean, I was going to do like a video thing of the A-grade players in each team and give it like a point scale for each roster to work out who's best. I had Deng Adel as an A-grader. I saw him play at Houston in the summer league, and he was good, but he was a shell of himself. I just don't understand what happened, to be honest. It's all between the years. But Deng Adel is the Holt Award winner for this season. That is for sure. All right. Next up, we've got the Big Plums Award for the best in-season recruit. We liked Big Plums last year, and he got the Cats over the line. Now, Big Plums, a few of our... As a running theme of our podcast seems to be puns based on plums and alike. And I think it's all my fault, to be honest. So one of the nominees was BJ Johnson. And let's hear a bit about the plums-esque puns as we went along this season. A couple of moments here.
I got the news from Banksy on my fifth wedding anniversary dinner. Thankfully checked the messages. Yeah. Well, I wasn't looking at my phone until there was an important something that I was waiting on. And so the boss said I could check the phone. And luckily, because Banksy
he even tried calling us.
What a good bloke. A good bloke. So in between my, I think it was my, when I was going from the enchilada to the taco, I think it was, jumped in there and put J-Mart on the bench. Hey, we only do things classy in the Boyd residence, okay?
No, I just have this horrible innuendo in my head. Yep, carry on.
Oh, from the enchilada to the taco. Jesus.
Sorry. Not sexual innuendo.
It was a beef taco.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was beef. And so...
Shall we move you on?
Yeah, moving right along. Patterson, you've got someone coming into the team in the next week or two. Benny, help me out here.
All right. I'm just going to actually try to find out a bit of information on that, see if he's actually left in the country. Just going to Google BJ Johnson. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted to see. Just delete the history.
Make sure you're not on the wife's computer.
That's okay. All clear. I don't have an update on BJ Johnson just yet.
Right, because that's the risk I'm talking about. You know, he's replacing Vic Law, so you'd hope that he's pretty decent, but we don't know when he comes in. In saying that, Brisbane got a double this week, a single with everyone else, and then they've got double and then a triple, right? So I actually don't mind the Lamar Patterson. He did have a 59 against Perth. No? You don't like it?
Sorry, no, you just said you don't know when he comes in, and I've just seen on the internet. Jeez, bloody hell.
Oh, you're really, Benny. so he's gone. Does come up against Creek and Talangi this week.
Beef tacos last week.
Tacos last week, and now we've got this. Oh, I don't know where we're going.
Look, we acknowledge from the start that this podcast makes us thirsty, right? But apparently for me, it makes me thirsty in a whole different way, to be honest. Out of all that, BJ Johnson is our first nomination. Who are our other nominations for the best in-season recruit, the Big Plums Award? Banksy.
Beamer. William McDowell White. Levi Randolph. Brandon Paul.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Duffman is here.
And Duffman.
And Duffman. So, Boydy, talk us through this award. Who do you think should get it, and what are your considerations?
Oh, I'm thinking the Beamer. I think, you know, once you brought him in, I had him for the rest of the year, I think. As we talked about before, probably not starting because he's so sporadic, but solid.
Got to agree with you there.
Yep, BMW the best.
And probably, and he, to be honest, the price plays a big part of it as well. And he was, what, 250K, whereas the rest of those guys were all... Oh, Duffman was 250K as well. And he filled a need at certain points of the season if you needed
him. Could downgrade
him
at the end, but...
The other guys were all $1 million, so you'd probably be going with none of them.
The Beamer 106?
No, they did not. And quick question on that then. Levi Randolph got the player, got the team option for New Zealand. Do you pick him up if you're the Breakers, Levi?
I'd say yes.
I think so.
And
showed a lot towards the
brand
there.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
BP, premium dude.
I want to see both those guys in this league.
Yeah, I think so as well, especially if we're expanding to three. I think it'd be really good. So obviously Duffman, BMW, great cash cows as you mentioned, but they came in mid season. So they will not win our next award, which is the MVP, no, cash cow of the year. Now Banksy, I've set out I've got a list here from our initial cheat sheet. So Banks, you did the cheat sheet. If you want to just promote what that was and how people got it, and I think it's pretty good.
It was something that needed to be altered numerous times, if you recall.
Yeah, we had late run. It got sent out twice.
The schedule changes. And, yep, there was definitely a version 2 and probably a 3 and 4 as well. So, a lot of good, juicy information in there for an array of coaches, but I think predominantly for people who were maybe time poor and wanted to get a team together pretty quickly as we entered round 1, fair to say. But obviously, as you said, one thing we definitely had on there on the cheat sheet was our top 5 cash cow predictions.
That's right. And in order they were?
Number 1, we went in the end in agreeance with Yanni Wetzel. Fair to say, that was a
keep going
pretty solid cash cow. And we'll skip over the next one really quickly.
No, don't do that.
Number 3, Jack White. Was unfortunate he was injured, or he certainly would have been up there. DJ3J was number 4 and Deng Deng was number 5.
Now, I feel like Deng Deng could have been replaced with someone else. So, I think what I did was narrow it down between Sam Froling or Yanni. I know you've got some stats in general, Boydie, if you want to run through. And I think we're going to probably come down to those two players, but carry on.
Where were we going through it again? I did have these stats up. Where
you
were they?
Did.
Yanni was the one, because I think Yanni overall, 28th for the season. But if you're going to look at it on an average based, I think White had him.
Yeah, so obviously Jack White would have been the one. And we just played a clip from Tom Hirsch about Donald Sloan. He was also huge on Jack White. Called him as this year's MVP, no, in that interview we did with him. Credit where credit's due to Tommy, who also won our Experts League. So,
and with that, I think I slid Jack White in before that first game for Melbourne United as well, based on Tommy Hirsch's talking it up. So I think I
there,
definitely got the benefit out of that.
I also tried to because he started that first game.
Yeah, it was late
in the end. And
I
tried to do it and locked out.
Oof.
Oh, oof. Unlucky. So
you needed a message like when I was in between the enchilada and the taco.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Sorry, mate.
So obviously Sam Froling had a great season, was most improved player. If you go to that list I talked about before, player stats, he had the second highest increase behind Hunter, I believe, Jordy Hunter.
Yep.
But went miles above average of what was it in the end? It was Sam Froling,
37.1. Yep. Finished on a price of 1.32 mil, which was a 730K increase. But I think if we go back, I'm pretty sure we were talking about cash cows being 500K or under, and that's
why
that
that's
Sammy Froling didn't fit. Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's fair. So I think there's only one winner. Boydie, if you want to do the announcement.
Oh, look. The pretzel.
It is the pretzel. And yeah, it's making me thirsty.
Me thirsty right now. I just need a little bit of a sip. But definitely Sam Froling were there. Look, I think DJ3J, if he played out the year, unfortunately injured. Thoughts are out to him. Hopefully he's back for
MVL 22.
He was
getting stronger as the season went on. Whereas Yanni was out of the blocks.
Yes.
I think DJ3J, he was, as that season was going on, he was...
Yeah, and look, but unfortunately for him, obviously the position that he plays, you know, is not as quite as predominant with double doubles as Yanni and Whitey and Sam Froling, definitely. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see DJ3J back in our league next year as well,
for sure. And so well done to Yanni, and well done to us on our number one cash foul for the year, actually turning out that way with Yanni Wetzel. Make sure you get the Patreon cheat sheet when we release it for NBL 22 in a few months' time, no doubt. Lots of hard work for Banksy coming up, but received some really good feedback about that. Now,
Banksy doesn't just do the cash cows, does he? I thought we all do that.
Oh, we do the cash cows. He puts the document together to make it look
pretty. I'll make it pretty. He makes it pretty.
Now, things that were nice. Pretty average, I'm going to go with, was the remainder of our predictions.
Mm.
So the Jay Sean Tate Award goes to someone we haven't spoken about that you think should get more love. I'll throw it to Banksy. Who gets your Jay Sean Tate Award? Who are you worried about that we should have talked more about comes round two?
Well, I think it's one of the first, well, not so much round two, but just post this revised schedule. So Sloan came straight into my team.
All right, I'm going to go with one that definitely hasn't been mentioned too much at all, and that is Ben Moore from Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I think he'll comfortably average more fantasy points than John Mooney.
Look, okay.
I'm seriously so much overhyped this John Mooney thing. I cannot wait till it comes back to bite one of us, because it's going to bite one of us hardcore.
And
I don't know who it is.
And
we'll
this,
see.
This could come back to bite one of us as well. Banks is my pick for someone who we haven't talked about that I actually think will be have a really, really good season. And it's actually your choice for your Glenn Rice Jr. Award as someone you're going to retire in JLA. I think JLA, his development, he has an amazing fantasy game. $1 million picks.
Lost it.
Yes, I did. So this is going to be, we have to pick our highest $1 million scoring import, regardless of schedule, who comes out at the end on top.
Then I'd be silly not to pick Mooney.
All right.
Not Biggs.
Bordy, you need to rebut this. Who are you going with, mate?
I'm going with Vic Law.
I guess it doesn't surprise that I like Ben Moore, given I like Ben Moore than you guys. So that's our next category, fellas. We're going to all go through and pick a player that is under 5% ownership that we like the best. Mine is Jarrell Martin.
One that we, again, really haven't spoken about, but one that I really like, particularly this new schedule as it stands, is Isaac Humphries, the Hump.
Nice one. I've gone with someone different again, and I couldn't get the stats up. This is not good. I'm going to go with Ty Webster.
Banksy, all right. Who's your MVP, mate?
Vanilla pick, but has to be Cam Oliver.
John Mooney.
John Mooney? Cam Oliver.
John Mooney.
Cam Oliver.
You spelt John Mooney wrong.
Hey, we got Space Cam. John Mooney. Like, it's like intergalactic battle for the ages.
It's fate.
My fantasy MVP, I haven't gone the cheap option either, which Penno was last season. I've gone for one of his teammates in Mitch Creek.
I'm going to go with the boring vanilla gorilla and just going to go, I'm going to go Jock Van Landau.
All right, some overall pretty good advice, I think, there with some $1 million picks. Not too bad, apart from, I can't believe Banksy went with both Donald Sloan and Humphries.
Very Adelaide specific.
And then
balance out.
And which one ended up in your team?
Enough. What do we call it? We were Sloaned.
Yeah, we were Sloaned. But some plenty of good $1 million picks, fellas. Plenty of good some MVP picks, which we'll get on to next.
Oh,
now,
pretty stinky, I reckon.
Look, John Mooney discussion was the. It has gone right throughout this season, but I want to take you back through the history of where it started, and because it might not be where you remember it, but let's go. You're expecting someone to pop out or pop up. These are the players that make me pop out.
Oh.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot! Oh, geez, I didn't realise that was the wording, but anyhow.
First
wow.
All right.
First game nerves.
All right. Banksy, tell us about John Mooney.
Never heard of him. Yes.
I hear he's him up. I hear he could be playing for Perth this season. That's all I got, guys.
Behind.
Fair to say, when it was first announced, I was a bit like, "Who? What's going? What?" And look, okay. I'm not the closest college ball follower, but
that's right.
Is he Cam Mooney's brother?
Yeah.
I would argue that this is our best double chance.
Yep.
Almost in the entire league next year, Banksy. This is someone.
What?
Oh, you've talked him up.
There's another signing a couple people down here.
Reminds me of the spill from last preseason on Dave Barlow.
Oh, the Dan Trist one from 2 years ago.
I think it's going to depend on what happens in Perth. They possibly have another Roth. Well, they've got to sign someone to replace Majuk. Well, and
they've got no big
and
men.
Who knows
they?
What happens with you know who? The he who shall not be named.
Who are you talking around?
I have no idea what you're saying. All right.
If Cotton becomes an Aussie, then which is the biggest known secret that's going to happen probably.
Yep.
Oh, has it got Jesse Wagstaff playing the centre at this stage?
Look, so I'm going to Banksy, you got homework, mate. John Mooney, he's going to be your man. He's going to be in your side. You have to come with in-depth research.
He's going to be in your side.
I'm telling you.
I'll dig.
And dig he did. How's that for some forecasting? So it went from there, Izzy Cam's brother, to this little bit of research that Banksy had to do.
There are some mysteries out there. Like, why can't Banksy say the words New Zealand without a Kiwi accent? He can't explain that mystery. Let's hope he can investigate this one. So Banksy, who is John Mooney?
And Banksy, what was the first piece of digging that you did, I think? It was something along his dad or something.
He's a carpenter.
John Mooney wears T-shirts.
John Patrick Mooney.
His middle name was Patrick. That was
that was one.
It's funny where we came along because we ended up here.
We'll move on to my big call, and I don't know if this is just my big call or I just like to get to body here these days. But my biggest call will be Mooney.
Okay. Yep. Predictable.
Will eclipse K in points and rebounds this season compared to last season.
Oh
no, you didn't.
Goodness. All right. So he spoke the name in the same sentence. Nick K and John Mooney.
Lord.
Okay. So I know you were going to have issues with this.
Are you running with this?
I'm encouraging the debate.
Are you on board with it, though? I would like to know if you're on board.
Well, Matt almost actually put me on board by asking me a simple question. What do I think John Mooney will average this year? From points and rebounds, which was his take. I think upside, he could be 15 and 9. And what did Nick K average last year?
I asked you before I told you what K averaged last season as well. And K averaged 15 points and 7.6 rebounds.
Okay, obviously Nick K does a bunch of other stuff.
You boys are hanging on to... Well, this guy's a first-year pro, right? It takes a little bit to skip up to the
Someone's
pros, right?
Going to have to get these rebounds, aren't they?
We've got plenty of guys with G League experience in this league. Bigger bodies. I think you're absolutely dreaming that he's going to be averaging 15 and 7. Absolutely dreaming. And with that, my second call is to say that Mooney will not be in the top 20 of fantasy averages season. I can't even say it properly because I'm so...
Battle lines drawn.
I just posted an ad. So if anyone wants to apply to become the third basketball bloke...
I must admit, I think Tom...
I'm actually pissed now that Perth don't have a double round one because I think... You clowns going with him. I was just like, oh, mate, I could field a whole team of 11 250 grand players and I'd still be beating you after the rankings after round one.
So Perth aren't rebounding this season?
Nah.
Nah, okay.
Well,
not against some of their opposition, they won't be. Because they got Mooney standing there as the five.
Jesus. And now we've got Bordy's 250K team reveal.
Oh, here we go. That team's finished 7th. 70th overall. Where did you guys finish?
Yeah, well done, Boyd. Hey? That's the twice now that you've mentioned that one. But so it is, without further ado, that Boydie has the honours of announcing this year's MVP for fantasy.
MVP fantasy is John Mooney.
Excuse me?
John Mooney!
John Mooney.
Buzz, come on down.
The buzz was real. The buzz gets the MVP.
Now, what if only I put him in my side round 3 or 4 when I wanted to?
Tried to tell you, Boyd.
And for the good of the pod.
For the good of the pod, for the continual
banter. Lots of banter and hashtag Mooney MVP. Pod.
Let's be honest. It's obvious.
I said, look, I'm going to finish ahead of you overall, right. So I'll just leave him off
obviously cost him a top 10 fantasy. I mean, to be honest, Denham should give you a cut.
No.
No, I mean, come
should,
on.
No, he should not.
Denham should take his spot.
100% incorrect.
It was a good talking point through the year. Got a good banner. Oh, he was probably the biggest.
Probably the best talking point we've
and
ever had.
And I've got some stats in front of you there, Banksy. And just to compare what kind of season this was, we have the King Legend himself, Andrew Bogut.
Key point I took out of that, though, is I was pretty sure that Cotton was going to get his citizenship. So I'd like to thank ScoMo for not getting that sorted.
Was the curse,
hate
not
bring
ScoMo,
that,
mate.
Hate to bring what that, about? Get this political, but I reckon if Big Plums was in there sitting at the five, I don't think young John Mooney would be getting anywhere near the levels he would get there.
Oh, right.
Just quietly.
Well, you got to let it go, just because
I'm good.
Dominated.
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting 70th overall. I'm drinking iced teas. I'm all good.
Banksy, just for comparison, I've got the tweet there that we sent out about John Mooney, and if you just want to read that one out.
I can. The Perth Wildcats' John Mooney needed 100 NBL fantasy points this round to surpass the great Andrew Bogut's King Legend of an NBL season, where he averaged 62.1 fantasy points per game. Mooney ended up with 90 fantasy points this round, ending up with an average of 61.8.
Bam, bow.
Context.
So, yeah, the Moondog doesn't get his own King Legend type status. No Moon Man, but...
I think Jock showed in game one, though, that the Moondog probably ain't going to make no NBA team, so we can see him here there next year.
Will he be paying up? It's a big question, but to be honest... The most important thing, stuff the 61.8 average. The most important thing for us and my favourite moment of the entire year was what John Mooney did here.
They're very matchup dependent, whereas you've got someone like Mooney who's just averaging double doubles like there's no tomorrow. So look, I wouldn't be going Simon as captain choice myself. Cotton would be the one man out if I was going to go anyone, because I think they're playing the easier teams. So yeah, that's what I'd be looking
at. It's tempting, but you just think with Mooney, you know what you're going to get. And even if someone like Simon does outscore him, you know that over a triple, it's not going to be by much.
Okay, Banksy, get out of here, mate. Get out of here.
I've just got the good word, guys. I'm out.
All right. Yes. Good luck.
What you heard there is obviously the basketball blokes dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy at all times, but Banksy threw us a little bit of a curveball and let us know on Messenger. I can't even remember now that the waters had broke. So obviously, normally I can't talk for Shires in any way, but... obviously, I was a bit lost for words there.
That's right.
Fair to say.
So, for the background, we've been waiting for 3 weeks. Mm. Bordy and I...
Red alert. A couple
of podcasts in quick succession, just the way the end of the season was.
Few people said best podcasts we've ever done.
Oh, no doubt.
As a group.
No doubt. But, alas, alas, Bordy came... Banksy came back for this other podcast. And just the mention of John Mooney as the number one captain... choice.
It's all she needed.
That was it. Got the job of the line. So, fellas,
thank you, Moondog.
Thank you, Moondog. Thank you for the awesome season, and thank to everyone who's listened for the awesome season. Bordy, we've got a few little things here we want to wrap up. So, first one for me, though, is because I did it, so I'm claiming it, is I've updated the rolling rosters.
Yes, even with the newest announcements, yes.
On the website. So that's going to be your first point of call, I think.
Get on there, basketballblokes.com.
That's right, and there's a tab there in the news for rolling rosters, and we've had Creek take up his player option.
We did, yes.
Moller's gone. And we've got the likes of Kai Soto already there for Adelaide. But yes. Go have a look, check out, see where your club is sitting. They're fairly sparse, is probably the big takeaway. But what we might do, I think, for our Patreons, if there is a player signing, we can just jump on there, I think. I don't know, what do you think about that, boy? Jump on and have a quick chat about a player signing rather than doing a full podcast or something like that?
On where?
Love it.
On our Patreon.
Live. Oh, yes, we'll do that. Yes.
Patreon.
Yes.
We call it Patreon Live.
Patreon Live. Yes, yep. Like that.
Yep, so sign up if you want access. So all you need to do is sign up for the $1 tier to get the access to the chat room and the Patreon page, which is where they'll be posted. So
obviously, you've got the Denham Melrose tier, which is $5,000 for him to join up for this year.
Very good, very good. Now, before we get to that to that interview with Denham Melrose, I'll give you boys an opportunity to leave some final messages for the season. But what we're going to play here is our intro to the positivity pod. I thought this might have been in the birthing suite when young Isla was brought into the world. But we're going to send some positive vibes out to NBL 22. We need them. And that will be played before the Denham Melrose interview. But Banksy, give us a bit of a wrap up from your own perspective, mate.
What am I wrapping up here?
Just your thoughts on the year, mate. You know, I know, just
personal thoughts.
Whatever. What do you want?
So AFL fantasy. You want to discuss AFL fantasy? I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm going right there. Top 5K club. And,
geez, Louise. Get this.
I felt like I was building up to something.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I've got stuff in my head. I'm ready to go.
All right. You got 10 seconds. Nine.
10 seconds. I've got nothing.
All right, I'll wrap it up. I want to say shout out to everyone out there, because the listeners out there make us do this and put in the work. We put in numerous hours, mostly Benny and Banksy. I don't put that many hours in as those two, because I'm
as you can tell with Banksy.
Yes, well, as you can tell,
I'm worn out.
I'm more, you know, I'm more the what am I going to say?
Do you know why?
I'm more ad lib. I'm a bit more sporadic and what was the word I used at the start?
Spontaneous.
I'm a bit more spontaneous than these two guys.
Do you know
guys.
Why I'm worn out there, Bordy?
You're we tell worn out?
Because I've been working on something.
Oh, go with it if you want.
Live scoring.
Get out of town.
X-nay on the live scoring, nay.
Late night live scoring.
Okay.
Yes, that's what our hard-earned Patreon funds are funneling towards at the moment. We're hoping to get live scoring up for you people out there. On the website for next season.
For round one.
But I'm just excited for next season. We've got a new team. We're going to have, look, judging by the Chinese League announcement in the last couple of days, there's going to be some imports on the market out there that might end up being interested in coming down to the NBL. Not that we didn't have any trouble attracting really high caliber imports this year. So I think that's about it. Let's get amped. Look forward to the off season.
And stay classy.
As always, we are at @bball_blokes on Twitter. That's probably our most frequently used social medium. You've also got Basketball Blokes on Facebook. And then the number one source of NBL fantasy information, www.basketballblokes.com. Until the off season, because we'll be doing it all through there, maybe mostly for Patreon supporters, but a little bit of other stuff as well. Stay classy.
All things Aussie Hoops and NBL Fantasy. Three blokes catching up over green tea or three. So many things that we can't wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drives it to the cup?
The first Aussie to notch back-to-back triple-doubles up.
Will Luzada try harder for last year's runners-up?
Well, I hope he's trying for Zion since the Pals called him up.
Will Magnaze had his sights on the NBA?
He's such a nice guy to let DD play.
But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay.
They don't need another import anyway.
We love Space Cam double doubles and 4-point shots from bubbles.
And how he pretends to throw balls at refs without getting into trouble.
The Great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch.
And how Dane might be so cheap he'll make fantasy coaches rich.
The Hawks signed a bloke named Justanian.
Well, they didn't, but he's better than a certain Australian.
And next year we'll love the Tasmanians.
And by then, we might like the fantasy game again. So brace for some calm and tranquility. It's time for some blokes positivity.
All right, the basketball blokes here are very lucky to introduce the number one in the universe NBL fantasy coach for NBL 21, Denham Melrose of the OK Then. Thanks for joining us today, Denham.
Thanks for having me.
And we can hear you all loud and clear, so that is good. I'm going to pass it over to Banks to start us off with some questions for today.
Beautiful.
All right, of course the boys have dobbed me in with this question, Denham. Nice to have you on. So thinking back to the season we had, which obviously stretched out for longer than we would have thought, we all started luckily with Donald Sloan. And I was Sloan for many weeks after he left the country. So I guess thinking back to your own starting side, did you have him? And further to that, did you also have Hump as well?
I did. I started with both.
So obviously that was, you know, a mixed bag. Sloan experiment didn't go exactly how we planned. I think probably all of us with his NBA pass planned on having him maybe for the whole year. So that, yeah, that clearly didn't go to plan. And I think I traded him to Luke Travers in round two after that happened.
Nice. Sometimes good to cut your losses early for those out there that are interested in the old stock market and all that sort of thing, they say. So then you started off pretty good, if we remember rightly. Where was your ranking sort of early on? You're kind of near the top from the start?
Yeah, pretty much from the second week. So round one, I had a look back, I was 470th. And then I was ninth in for the weekly rankings of round two, which really, really put me up there. And sort of started the season off well. And I think that was probably a lot thanks to starting with Hump.
Yeah, obviously a great selection. We're going to hear in this podcast that Banksy actually recommends Humphreys as someone in our last preseason podcast and didn't take his own advice. So, but the moral of the story, Denham, is obviously the sooner you cut your losses with Sloan, the better, because that was the difference here, I think, made a big difference in your season. So well done. Now, I guess talking about recruits like Travers, we're doing an award in our podcast for the best NBL in-season recruit. So that made me think, who was your best trade in this season?
I think I had a couple of really good trades throughout the year that I sort of looked back on and thought that kind of messed me up really well. One was when Humphreys went down, I went straight to Iverson just before he kind of rocketed in form. So I think that was one of my better trade-ins at the time. But I also think Luke Travers, when I did trade him in, he took a while to get going, and I think a lot of people did have him early. Him and Tarangi, neither could kind of, they weren't making a heap of cash. And at one point I traded Travers to Rasmus Buck. I think he was getting a few more minutes with some of the injuries New Zealand had. And he wasn't the best player, but he was able to make some cash, which helped me upgrade that position a lot earlier than everyone else did, I think. So, yeah, Rasmus Buck, kind of the unsung hero, I guess.
Nice. Now, I just heard you mention there quickly about the minutes thing. Rasmus Buck was getting a bit more minutes, so you switched over. Is that one thing that you look at pretty regularly through the season in regards to setting up your team, so especially probably your bench players, your sort of ones that are topping out minutes-wise?
Yeah, definitely the bench, and especially early in the year when you're trying to upgrade those cheaper guys as quick as possible. It certainly was really handy, and I was looking at a lot of different guys that got injured and who was kind of going to step up into those roles. And I think that was, yeah, that's something you can look at. And if you can get it right, if you can predict the guy that is going to get more minutes because of it, that goes a long way to upgrading those spots quicker and getting a sort of complete team as early as possible.
Nice one, Denham. Now, I've got a bit of a captain's question for you. So, obviously, captains can make or break the season at different points within the season. And didn't get any bigger than when a lot of us captained Jock on that United triple. And obviously, he was injured at the opening tip-off there. Did you have Jock selected as your captain, or did you go someone that might have been unique that round?
No, I did go Jock, and I was, pretty worried when I saw he went down. I was at football training at the time that it happened, so I wasn't able to see until I got home, and I pulled my phone out, and I got really worried for a bit there, but quickly realised that I think there was only one of the top 15 coaches that didn't go with him as captain. So probably got saved by a bit of everyone going vanilla there with the captain that week.
Sorry, mate.
No,
certainly got. I think it's certainly got all three of us in the room here, so that's fair enough. BMW, McDowell White. You have him for that triple double week at all, or?
I didn't have him for the triple double week. I wanted to, that week that he had it, I wanted to hold off one more and just see how he went, because he had had up and down scores in the couple of games that he had played until that point. At first, that obviously turned out to be a mistake with the triple-double, and then I think we had a joke about it on Twitter when he had the six in the next game. Kind of saved my bacon a bit, because I think if he'd gone again with a huge score there. It might have been a bit, different story rankings-wise. But it ended up turning into a bit of a merry-go-round because I think I brought him in the next week thinking I'll just be as vanilla as possible and make sure my team is similar to everyone around me. And then he didn't have that good of scores from there, so I traded him out again 2 weeks later to Brandon Paul, and it was almost kind of like I really didn't need to bring him in at the time.
That's just made me think of a little extra question for you, Denham. How much, when you're sitting up top of the rankings, are you playing defense? How much of it is planning your own side, or is it thinking, looking behind you at the next 15 spots and thinking, oh, they've all got Will McDowell-White. I need to play defense. I need to try and keep up with them. Is that obviously part of your trading strategy?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it was always in the back of my mind for the last probably, I think I led for the last 8 rounds. And every week I was thinking, it's probably going to be safest to just try and make my team as similar as possible to the coaches behind me to avoid them getting unique scores to catch up. But at the same time, I was always planning out trades for the next few weeks, so I didn't want to stray away from them too much. But certainly BMW was one guy for the last probably 5 or 6 weeks that was really unique for me because I didn't have him, and I think most of the coaches in the top 10, 15 did. But for the most part, I think, yeah, playing defense was definitely a strategy going into those last, or at least the second half of the season.
Nice one. And next one from me, Denham. So apart from John Mooney, who was obviously even Boydie's fantasy MVP for the season, I guess him aside, who else was your team's fantasy MVP for the season, would you say?
I think, I mean, the easy answer is probably Giddy, just because of how consistent he was in all the games that he did play. But I think for me, Tyler Harvey was one I brought in a bit earlier than everyone else, I think. And he was just phenomenal. I mean, there was a week, I think, with about 2 or 3 weeks to go. And I think, Banksy, you had him and Machado, who was on the triple when Cairns were the only team on the triple. You had him and Harvey as your two best captain options. And I opted not to bring Machado in, so I went Harvey. And he had that period in the one game where he had 14 points in, I think, 14 seconds. And I think that kind of summed up for me how good he was all year, really, when he was in my team. So I think my answer for that is Harvey.
I actually tweeted that 14 points in those seconds, so you're welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's what you want. You want guys like Hump at the start of the year coming out and arguing that he got 7 blocks, and you want guys like Harvey that just do these outlandish 14 points in 14 seconds. So, yeah, I think you've done well. And I know Bordy, who I'm going to pass the mic to now, is a big Harvey fan as well.
I was, but I didn't listen to myself. I think I had him in the side at one stage, and then I switched it to Sloan because every man and his dog was talking about how good Sloan was going to be and rah, rah, rah. So I was a bit. I got to listen to these two clowns in the room with me, and also Tom Hirsch, who was dropping his name like it was going to be the next big thing. So, those things happen. I'm going to go with a bit of an out there question, big future looking question. Now we've got a massive off season ahead of us with the NBL, but is there someone right now that you think will be in the league that you will have as a lock almost for your fantasy team next year? If you're going to select one person right now?
Again, I think the easy answer is Mooney, right? If he comes back. But I think if anyone has been on Twitter over the last couple of days, I think, you know, there's rumours of perhaps a Jimmer Fredette coming to the NBL. And I think with the points he's been putting up across the world over the last couple of years, if he happens to be in the league next year, I think he's one that I would jump on straight away.
Lots of 4-pointers for Jimmer.
Absolutely.
And probably a great segue, Denham. You're very good at this, mate. Next question, NBA related, okay? So you've just won the 5K. How much of that prize money would you give up to see your sons win the NBA title?
That's an amazing question. If I can be arrogant for a second, I think I'd say none, just because... And I was watching the Bucks-Nets game 7 just before this, where the Nets got eliminated. I think I'm just really confident that the Suns are going to win the championship. And I think that, you know, I've never had so much fun watching a team that I support than I have this year watching Phoenix. So I think maybe it would be spoiled if I knew the outcome by giving up some cash for it. So I think I'd say none, just for the experience of going through not knowing, but hoping that they do win it anyway.
I was going to say, you must have been barracking for the Bucks watching that game. And I only just caught up just before we jumped online now as to what that outcome was. And I think as a Suns fan, you can just about book it.
I love it.
Well, as a Houston fan here, I was happy to see James Harden out. But I did also see Chris Paul and his hamstring, and now we've got COVID. Will that curse happen? I hope not for your sake, mate. I'm pretty sure we're all probably barracking for Phoenix in this room right now. So, yeah, good luck, mate. And I know Liam Santa Maria is a big Phoenix Suns fan as well, one of the favourites of the podcast. So,
I think the winner of last year's Tom was as well.
That's a good, yeah, Tom Aiken as well. I think he was Phoenix as well. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right, mate. Off the top of our heads. That's about it for today, I think, mate. We just wanted to get you on board. This is our end of season podcast. So once again, mate, congrats. And hopefully the NBL has been in contact with you and got that check sent your way. You know, is it, you know, paying for some courtside seats for game two of the finals this afternoon, or not going to grace you?
Hopefully the Wildcats do get over the line. I do support the Wildcats, so fingers crossed on that.
It would be nice if they bloody gave you a ticket to the courts. I would have thought just about, seeing as they actually, the good thing was on the awards night the other night, they did tweet out that the top five for fantasy. So I thought that was a good recognition of yourself, as well as you know, the other top four, or who of which, you know, there's, I think, three out of the five are Basketball Blokes fans, if not Patreon fans here as well. So I thought that was good recognition. But mate, congrats. It takes a hell of an effort to be up there and be up the top as long as you were, and to defend your spot and get that win in the end. I don't know from experience. I've cost myself the win a couple of times, so that's okay. We'll try again next season. But yeah, thanks again, mate. Hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we might speak to you during the season as well, next year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to jump on at any point during the season. I do have to give a shout out to you guys before we finish for all the work you do. I think the Scheduliser was probably my most visited website throughout the year, so that helped a lot.
Nice. We appreciate that, mate. So thank you, and yeah, hopefully chat soon. Cheers, mate.